the name, but also something about them. Those who have nominated these men, please put them on the form. What shall we do? We have four nominations. We need two. Is there a motion that the nominations be closed? So moved and seconded. Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary? So ordered. Now, sir, how many shall we elect? Do we elect two out of these four? We could take all four, or we could, would that be too many? Be really unruly? What's your recommendation? Take all four. The question is, what do we want to do? And the recommendation of the just given to me is that the committee could well use all four. You can do what you please. You can move a white ballot, or you can move that we elect two out of the four. Two is what we need. What is your pleasure? Mr. Egon Littleman, which would you go to number five? Five, Mike?
I move the white ballot.
It has been moved that a white ballot be cast for all four of these brethren. That's seconded, I gather. Moved and seconded. Any debate question? Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary? So ordered.
Moderator, move recommendation four with the following amendment. Hank Linvolt should read Hank Terrell. There is no Hank Linvolt. The intention was Hank Terrell. T-E-R-R-I-L-L, under ruling elder. And secondly, there's an editorial correction. Woody Market should strike the S. It's Market.
Woody Market. I don't see it, but okay. These are simply editorial. Any question? It's been moved that these brethren listed on page 53 on complaint number 4 be elected, be nominated. There is a call for mic number 6.
Donald Munson, Western Carolina Secretary. Question, Mr. Moderator, what does the statement at the bottom of page 52 mean? Seems that they're appointing the Committee on Commissioners as a commission also.
Yes, that is, I just now noticed that. I'm sorry. This had, originally had been that the Committee Commissioners be appointed as the commission. Subsequently, that was changed. Somehow, to a clerical error, it remained here. Motion should it read that we move that the following be constituted a judicial commission. I apologize for that error.
The following. Strike the words Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business and insert, we move that the following be constituted judicial commission. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Anything else on this? Number four, it's before you. There's no additional corrections or questions. These names will be accepted. It stands approved. Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, this concludes our partial report.
This is a partial report. Now we will expect more pages tomorrow so that some of these complaints will be the more obvious to you and you can study them up the better.
Moderator, there's an additional correction here. I just informed that the convener is Bowen, not Bauer.
The convener of number four?
Right.
The convener number four is who? E-O-W-I-N. I see. Matter of spelling.
Moderator, yes. With regard to number five, complaint five, which so the commissioners asked about, the committee of commissioners does have a recommendation. It has not yet been printed. We expect it to be shortly presented to the assembly.
A further paper to come later on complaint number five. Very, very good. Now, thank you. That finishes your partial report. Okay. Now, the next thing then is this other.
Yeah, Mr. Moderator, we now are at the point where we had stated or slated a particular part of the Committee on Administration. The whole report is available, and I would assume it would might be well for the Assembly to amend the docket and go ahead and receive the whole report of Committee on Administration at this point.
The Committee on Administration, was expecting a preliminary, but we can give the whole report, which is where we would get ahead some. And the committee is prepared, we understand, and with your permission, we can change the docket to put the whole report at this time. We presumably would be ahead. I guess I would take a two-thirds vote, Mr. Parliamentarian. I should change the docket to put the whole report of the Committee on Administration here. It would take two-thirds vote, or it would take common consent. Perhaps common consent would be easier to get than two-thirds. It seems a worthwhile thing to put that here. Is there an objection to that? Shall we proceed with the whole report of the Committee on Administration? We got the consent, I think.
I'm John Pascal, a ruling elder from Southern Presbytery. Will you join me in prayer, please?
Shall we give attention in prayer and interrupt the passing out of papers for the moment?
Almighty and loving God, we thank you for your graciousness and for your grace. Thank you for your guidance of the Holy Spirit in our work. Thank you for the gift of your precious Son, Jesus. We pray that all of our thoughts and actions at this assembly will be pleasing to you and acceptable in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Where is this report?
100.
You have the blue report in front of you? Nope.
It begins on 101, right?
171 on the blue.
Yes, but it begins on 101 in here.
I don't know.
Committee on Administration. Yes. If I read in this report, it begins with. Yes. Report on Administration. Well, now, look.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to move that we not read the complete report and merely start at the recommendations on page 171.
This is the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration. And the report is here, and you would not read this first part, and the recommendations we would take up seriatim. This is a proposal, correct?
Right.
I should say to some of our commissioners who are not quite so much in the know that the report of the Committee on Administration, the Program Committee report, begins on page 101 of your book, and against that background, the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Administration is the one that we're dealing with on page 171, the blue sheet. If we know where we are. And if there's no objection, we will continue and dispense with the reading of the whole report, because most of it will be read anyhow as we take up the recommendations seriatim. Question number six, mic number six. There is considerable confusion during the report, the passing out of the report, so we try to give attention just as much as possible. Number six, mic number six.
In Carolina's Presbytery, we still don't have the report back here, sir.
This is the blue paper.
Don't have it yet, sir.
They're going as fast as they can. Perhaps we should just wait just a few minutes until this is done. In the meantime, perhaps while the papers are being passed out, maybe I can make some announcements. And this particular announcement, the appointment of conveners for the new presbytery. some of the new presbyteries will need conveners. And if you can take some note of this, at this time I will read some that have been suggested and I would appoint. New Jersey, James Smith. Northeast, convener Bill Henderson. St. Louis, Albert Mogeneau. Ileana, Tom Waldecker. Great Lakes, William Shell. Eastern Canada, Tom Aiken. Oklahoma, Paul DeLong. And Pacific Northwest, Robert Bonner. These are the appointments of conveners as they appear to be needed at this time. Now, perhaps we can proceed with the report. I think they have been discerned.
Starting at Roman numeral 3 on page 171 are the recommendations. Number 1, that the Committee on Administration minutes of June 15, 1981, July 21, 1981, September 24, 1981, November 6 and 7, 1981, December the 11th, 1981, which is a subcommittee report, February the 12th, 1982, April the 16th, 1982, May the 28th, 1982, be approved. 12-0 vote.
You see this unanimous recommendation that these minutes be approved. Any questions or objections? I hearing none, I declare these approved. This recommendation approved.
Number 2, that the 11th General Assembly be held at Norfolk, Virginia on June 13th through the 17th, 1983, with committees of commissioners beginning on June the 11th, 1983, or as called by the respective conveners. 12-0 vote for.
You've heard this recommendation. Number 10.
Al Luck, Calvary Presbytery. Some of us have been talking about another suggestion for General Assembly next year. And we were the understanding that this Committee of Commissioners Administration was coming up later, and Paul Settle at this time is making a phone call. I would like to ask that this item number 2 be delayed.
That seems a reasonable request until we get the word from the other end of the telephone. And so is that all right? We'll just delay this. Suppose we delay for the moment number 2 and postpone it until we get further information. Meantime, you can be thinking about it, and if number 2 interferes with the vacation plans of anybody, he can raise his hand. Yes, number 3.
Number 3, that the Assembly direct the Subcommittee on Judicial Business to study the desirability of executive committees, and if they are deemed wise and proper, the guidelines and the extent, that's the T on the end of that, typographical error, other authority be defined for recommendation to the 11th General Assembly. In the meanwhile, executive committees should not be used by assembly agencies since our Constitution does not provide for their existence.
I think everybody understands that these are executive agencies of the program committees, isn't that right?
Right.
Like MTW and so on.
Right.
Is this clear? Any questions? Number 10, Mike. Mark.
Mr. Moderator, Fred Mars, Mississippi Valley, the Chairman of the Committee on Mission in North America. I wish to speak against the recommendation of the Committee on Commissioners because I don't believe it solves our problem. The Judicial Committee has already studied our documents and rendered an opinion, and in their opinion, our documents do not provide for executive committees. Some of our committees would like to use executive committees, and we don't know whether it is the will of the Assembly to allow for executive committees or not. Now, this motion, as it's framed here, will not tell us that, and it will give no guidance to the Judicial Committee in working with that. So I don't know the procedure for us to get back to an original committee recommendation, a permanent committee recommendation. But I would support the permanent committee recommendation, even if the idea of using executive committees meanwhile, even if that is removed, it would be helpful to us if the Subcommittee on Judicial Business could frame some wording on an executive committee so that at the next assembly we could vote it up or vote it down and be done and know then whether the assembly wants us to use these committees or not.
Am I right that the program committee recommended executive committee?
On page 106. Under X recommendations number 3, the permit committee reported that the assembly direct the subcommittee on judicial business to frame a bylaw to allow committees, boards, and agencies of the assembly to use executive committees, providing for a full review and approval of all actions of the executive committee and for the submission of executive committee minutes to the committee of commissioners for review along with the minutes of the full committee, board, or agency. Further, that if the Committee on Administration approves the proposed language of the subcommittee, the proposal may be put into effect immediately and pending final approval by the next General Assembly.
Moderator.
Mr. Yes. Morris, I think you've spoken, so I don't think you can make a recommendation. You asked how that could be done. There are two ways it can be done. John Culver, and he's chairman of the Administration Committee. John in the house? This is an outside meeting. Well, the chairman or his designee always has the right to defend the permanent committee's recommendation. So if there's any member of the permanent committee on administration who wishes to defend number 3, he can come to the mic and offer it as a substitute. Or anybody from the floor can offer number 3. Of the permanent committee, one that the chairman of committee commission just read as a substitute, and that'll get it on the floor.
That is to say, anybody except Mr. Marks.
Right.
He has spoken already. Yes.
Dan Moore, Central Georgia Presbytery. Sir, I move you that the original recommendation of the permanent committee be offered as a substitute for the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners. If I have a second, I would like to speak to that, sir.
Yes, that has been seconded. Now, this is number 3 on page 106. I don't have page 106. May I ask if any of you do not have page 106?
Not in your book.
Not in my book.
It should be in the blue book, sir.
Maybe it's in a different book that I don't have. I don't seem to have it. But if the rest of you have it, well, that's fine. I can borrow. That's it. Thank you. How did this line get out of that? Never mind. Oh, I see. Out of order. The moderator's book is out of order also.
There you are, that's it.
Thank you very much. Page number 106, item number 3, is it? Has been moved as a substitute for the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners that is before us. And do you want to speak to that now? Then move
yes,
the second.
Sir, if I may. Gentlemen, the basic issue is one of trust. We elect our permanent committee. Every time a permanent committee meets, we fly in people from California and Florida and wherever. It amounts to a great deal of money. Most of our committees are trying to hold their meetings down to maybe once every 3 months. If they can put certain items in the hands of executive committees, a great deal of money can be saved. The executive committee's minutes are to be reviewed by the full committee. The full committee would have to approve or disapprove what has been done. The argument that has been against it is that certain things cannot be undone. And I understand that argument, but I feel that we simply must trust our leadership, and I think we can trust our leadership. I've been working closely with the leadership of the denomination for a long time, and I don't think anybody is trying to pull a fast one here. What we're just trying to say is this is a reasonable and decent way to do things.
This is just a question between having a program of executive committees for these agencies or not, and you have the two possibilities before you. And the recommendation of the program committee is on page 106, a different recommendation of the Committee of Administration, the Commissioners on Administration is before you, and on page 171. Now we vote, I guess, on the substitute as presented. As a further discussion. Number eight, someone, you say? Hey, number eight.
Matt Gardner, Evangel Presbytery. Just a point of clarification there. Does that mean that this will be adopted immediately for a one-year trial basis and still be reviewed by the next General Assembly? That's the way I read it.
As I understand it, the next General Assembly will make the decision. They're going to study it during this year and come up with a proposal which will either pass or not.
It does say, though, does it not, that they can put this into effect immediately pending final approval?
That's the use of, yes. of executive committee.
Yes.
It could be used for 1 year and then yes. final approval next year if mm-hmm. it so desires.
I think that's a fair statement. Any other decision? Ready to vote? The question is, will you adopt the original meeting and recommendation of the committee or the Committee of Administration on the blue? Those in favor of what's on the white paper, the committee's recommendation, the program committee, permanent committee's recommendation, those in favor of that, please just say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, that would be a no. I'll give that again. Those opposed, please say nay. That's pretty close, too. I think the ayes have it? Suppose we have the ayes stand, and then we can tell better. That was my fault. I didn't put that very crisply. That looks like the ayes have it. Yes, no question. The ayes have it. Thank you. And that means that the program as given on the white sheet, number 106, will be adopted. With further review next year. That disposes of number three and number four.
Number four, that the stated clerk be employed through the 1983 General Assembly, 12-0.
You heard the recommendation. Any questions, problems? Those that we have not heard from Ms. White, but we're, those in... I say we have not heard anything to the contrary from Dr. Smith White. No question, objection? It is approved.
Number five, that the Assembly approve relocating the business administrator's office to the same city as the computer center and thus the same city as many of the committees of the General Assembly. It's carried 12-0.
I gather that that was formulated rather carefully. No city is named, but I guess that's understood. There might be some changes in cities, right? It's the same city as the key word, I believe, there.
Right.
Is there any question or discussion of this? Yes, number 10, Mike 10.
Johnson, Texas Presbytery. At the very beginning, you said, especially to the ruling elders, if you have a question and you don't understand something, be sure to ask. And I'd like to go back to point two on page 101. This seems to be the only place there's any relationship to computers, and so I bring it up at this time because I see a great concern here. Let me just say my background is I have a little over 20 years with IBM in management. I'm currently retired and an independent computer consultant. It appears to me that point two states on that first page that there is a committee who is to oversight a committee on the computers. It is my understanding that no one on that committee has any knowledge of computers, that these are lay people that are selected from the other four committees and the business manager. And I'm under an impression that this could be a very expensive mistake. In 20 years, I've seen this mistake made hundreds of times, making expensive technical decisions with people that are unknowledgeable in that field. This is the only tie that I can see the word computer in the entire report, and I would like to speak to an objection on that page 101.2 and have the assembly stop a very tragic problem that could develop in the very near future.
May I ask you, sir, if, and maybe that doesn't directly relate to this, number five, if not, we'll take it up later, but number five, that the assembly approve relocating the business administrator's office to the same city as the computer center. Is that good or bad from the computer technical standpoint? Is it kind of, you have the offices separated by miles, or must they be together? Do you have any wisdom, technical wisdom, on this number five?
Technologically, it is more sound to have them in the same location. However, technologically, it's not required.
You therefore speak somewhat to approve of number five, but you have questions about the
other. I would favor five, but I want to...
Shall we then continue this number five and then return to your other matter?
I thank you very much, sir.
If that's all right. Number five then is before you. Is there further discussion or question on that? I see none. Number five then would be approved as really as advice, I suppose, because they have to discuss all the different possibilities. But number five is approved. Now, how do we come back to reconsider or to consider number two? Should we do that perhaps after the end?
That's not reporting, not a recommendation. This is reporting what has been done.
Yes.
Now, let me suggest to the ruling elders, what you need to do is write out a recommendation. It's what you said, such as that you want the Committee on Administration or the Business Administrator to have computer people with computer experience as consultants. What you have on in two data processing, that's just a report of what the committee's already done. That's not the action here, that's a report. So there's no way that we can vote on what you just said. But if you will write out the motion, a recommendation as to what you said, put it in this hopper this afternoon, then that will be referred to this committee for additional action, and some action can be taken at this assembly.
That would give the committee the technical advice.
That's right.
That does not change the makeup of the committee, but would request the committee, require the committee, to secure technical advice.
All right.
Now, is that helpful? Okay? But that should be done this afternoon because there is a deadline for new business.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Thank you. Another suggestion is that this report as a whole could be amended to that effect. Shall we continue then in number six?
Number six, that if the stated clerk's office is not able to publish the digest of the minutes during the calendar year of 1982, the special allocation of $10,000 be carried over in the 1983 budget.
You have heard this recommendation, question, or objection? I hear none, therefore it is approved.
Number seven, that the budget of the Committee on Administration as presented through the Stewardship Committee be approved.
This is presented. Is there any question or objection to this? Pardon? This is number seven. No objection or question. It is approved. Oh, I'm sorry. No action at this time. I'm sorry, we're going to approve something that wasn't there. Okay, number seven is delayed.
Delayed. Number eight, that the stated clerk be directed to visit the offices of each of the assembly's boards and agencies to determine how each is preserving its historical materials and to report to the next assembly as to the status of the historical records of the various agencies of the assembly.
The recommendation is before you, number eight, that are preserving historical records. Are those, there's no objection or question about this? It is adopted.
Number nine, that the following amendment to the rules for assembly operations be enacted. Add new 8-15 as follows. 8-15, review of Presbytery minutes. Each Presbytery clerk is to provide a stated clerk of the General Assembly with copies of all of the Presbytery minutes that are to be reviewed 60 days prior to the opening of the Assembly. The clerk, in consultation with the convener of the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries, is to distribute copies of the minutes to members of the committee no later than 30 days prior to the opening of the assembly. The members of the committee are to read the minutes assigned to them and be prepared to report at the time of the meeting of the Committee of Commissioners. The stated clerks of presbyteries or their representatives are to be prepared to meet with the Committee of Commissioners to answer questions and to clarify any discrepancies possible. The committee shall report these matters which are not satisfactorily clarified or in which it appears the presbytery has failed to comply fully with the constitution of the church.
You've heard this reading at number 9. A question on that? Mike 10.
Number 10.
Frank Moser, Ascension Presbytery. I'd like to move that we delay action on this item until after we've heard the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries. There's a second, I'll speak to it.
Moved and seconded, you have the floor.
Mr. Moderator, I believe that the Committee of Commissioners is going to report that this has not worked well this year, and for that reason that they may be coming with a recommendation on the same subject, and so I think it would be in our best interest to delay the action rather than to try to undo it later.
What this one is? I see. Yes. I see. You asked that this be delayed, postponed, until when? Until the committee commission, until the report of the committee commissioners on presbyterian control. And the parliamentarian points out that this is postponed to a definite time, which amends the docket and takes a two-thirds vote. Remember that as we vote. But it is true that further material will be coming on this item at a later time. You've heard the motion to delay. Are we ready to vote on that? Shall we try it first by voice? Those in favor of the motion to delay, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. I believe that is a greater than a two-thirds vote. This is delayed appropriately, thank you. And you can speak to it again later, of course. The next point, number 10.
Number 10, that in the event of joining and receiving, the stated clerk be authorized to meet in regional meetings with stated clerks of the newly formed presbyteries to assist them in an orderly transition into the PCA.
Perhaps we can change the wording there now also to make it past time, but the principle is before you. Any questions? Any questions from the stated clerk?
Mr. Moderator, is Bill Clark in the auditorium this time?
Bill Clark? I thought it was fine.
Yes. Mr. Moderator,
yes.
Mr. Clark, the coordinator of the mission in North America, pointed out to me that and when these new presbyteries meet, they may need to change their names. And I'd like to, at this point, I think it would be appropriate at this point for him to speak to that subject so when the stated clerk meets with them, the new presbyteries will know what they have to do about names. So I ask the moderator to ask the assembly if they'll give Mr. Clark the opportunity to speak
to
that subject.
Is there any objection to Mr. Clark speaking on this question of altering the names for certain presbyteries, I gather? Mr. Clark, number 10, Mike.
Thank you. The question is as to whether or not, because of changed boundaries, the present names of presbyteries are any longer applicable. These presbyteries are being reconstituted. Therefore, the names that may appear in the documents during this assembly are not cast in concrete and shouldn't be considered so. But the presbytery itself, when it is constituted, should choose its name, whether it be the same name or one that is different. That's the privilege of the presbyter.
Did you make a motion to that effect?
No, that's just understood.
I see. So that's already understood. And just so we all understand it, is that the idea? Okay. This does not change the wording of this, that inasmuch as we have joining and receiving been perfected, the stated clerk is authorized to be authorized to meet in regional meetings with stated clerks and so on. So you have this point number 10 before you. Is there further question or objection? I hear none, therefore it is adopted.
Number 11, that in the event of joining and receiving each of the presbyteries and agencies of former RPCES be encouraged to make provision for the careful preservation of their records until such time as the Assembly provides a depository for its archives.
Yes, this is an important point. Wasn't there something said about an archive being prepared? Didn't we have something about that before?
Did we have a process already for the archives for the preservation of old presbyterian? I believe that had to do with RPCES.
Yeah. Well, this is also the RPCES.
Mr. Moderator, you're correct. We do not need to pass this since it was already put into the motion as part of the joining and receiving, which specify Covenant Seminary as the depository, the temporary depository, until we have a regular place. May I make one remark, though? It is tremendously important that we save the history and all of the historical records of the RPCES Presbytery and the various agencies. Just because agencies are being closed out and won't be used in that form again for a while, or maybe ever again, doesn't mean that those records should not be saved. I would urge whoever is in charge of those records, deposit all of them at Covenant Seminary, and then later we can go through and decide what really needs to be saved. But deposit it all and save it all so that we can have a good history.
The purpose of this number 11 is certainly before us, and we approve it. But the question is it not moved? It has already been taken care of, so number 11 will not be adopted. It's being already taken care of.
Number 12, that the General Assembly reappoint the CPA firm of Kent, Nobles, and Martin to conduct audits of the 1982 records.
Further recommendation? Question? Yes, number 2, Mike 2.
The Mission to the World Committee of Commissioners engaged in some discussion on this particular matter as relates to the number of the agencies as well as Mission to the World. And we're prepared to make a recommendation in our report tomorrow that is different than this. I would move you, sir, that we postpone action on number 12 until we have heard the recommendation of Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the World.
This is what is envisioned here is an audit of all of the different committees? I see. And the Mission of the World has another recommendation, apparently. And the question is, should we hear that now, or should we or postpone this?
It will be in their report.
It will be in. Is that committee prepared to give a partial report on this matter now?
I believe we could on that particular point.
If you could on that particular point, then we could get this off the books, isn't that right?
Yes.
Suppose we call, if there's no objection, suppose we call on the Mission of the World to present a partial report on this item, which we will consider at the same time as number 12 and do it all at once.
The recommendation of the Mission to the World Committee of Commissioners is that the General Assembly...
Where is that found?
It's not handed out
not
yet.
Not handed out yet.
No, it's page 851, which you don't have. But it's very brief. Let the General Assembly employ one of the Big Eight accounting firms, beginning with the audit of 1982.
That appoint one of the what?
Big Eight accounting firms.
One of the Big Eight accounting firms. I don't think I use them. I'm not quite sure what that means.
I wonder if Mr. Bill, our committee is not assembled and prepared to speak
possible
to this.
I gather you're talking about one of the large major firms. You don't specify any. You just say one of the Big Eight. Is that right?
I'd like to ask the committee that brought this recommendation, perhaps the chairman of that subcommittee could speak just a minute.
Further information desired.
Bill Scholl from Covenant Presbytery. The recommendation was made by the
financial people of the Missions of the World Committee that because of the complexity and particularly some of the international nature that the RPCES missionaries bring in, that a larger or more international nature CPA firm be employed. The Big Eight consists of eight of the largest firms in the nation, typical of Price Waterhouse, Pete Myrick Mitchell, Arthur Anderson. And we went along with their recommendation. That was going to be one of our motions tomorrow.
May I ask, perhaps it would be helpful for the assembly, the World Presbyterian Mission, does it already use one of the Big Eight? No, it does not. It wouldn't be helpful, I suppose, to you. May I ask this? Is it helpful for one firm to do it all? It wouldn't be possible to have the point is that the foreign mission enterprise has very particular auditing problems. With the change of currency, the constant fluctuation in value of dollar and everything else, it is a very complicated thing for them, more so than for the others. I gather that's what's back of this recommendation, whether we adopt it or not. Number 7, further information.
Dan Moore, Central Georgia Presbytery. Sir, this is a question that was considered on the staff level. The indication was that the cost to the other committees would be considerable by this proposition. By using a smaller CPA firm, we get by a good deal cheaper than by using one of the big name firms.
Mm-hmm.
We did suggest to the Committee on Mission to the World that if they wish to audit their overseas branches, there would be no objection to bringing that information in.
Mm-hmm.
But there was very little enthusiasm from the branches that are wholly contained in the United States to pay more money to get the same service.
Mm-hmm. This is a problem. We have different types of auditing problems in the different committees. Number 9 speaking, yes.
Mr. Moderator, Jerry Sovereign, Gulf Coast. I'm a member of the Committee on Mission to the World. The problem that we encounter when we go overseas, the local firm of auditing that we are using does obviously not serve overseas. So we have to go to one of the Big Eight who, for example, have a branch in Taiwan. If we were using them locally, as well as in Taiwan, there would be certain cost savings. So that it seems to me we have a problem that cuts both ways. In those committees that are strictly in the U.S., we might save money by using the smaller firms. I think for Mission of the World, we save money by using the big one that can give us overseas service as well as domestic.
Well, may I ask, just for information, would it be at all feasible to have one company audit the MTW and other company audit the rest? Is that that's all out of the question, Mr. Clark? Number 10.
Coordinator of Mission of the United States, this hits us a little bit by surprise that I had understood that a committee of commissioners should not be bringing to the floor that which had not been given to it by its committee that it's reporting out on. And I'm wondering if this was in the material that we have all seen prior to this time. We have not had opportunity to look at it, and I think it hits us too quickly and should be referred.
You mean the blue sheet or the new material of Mission to the World?
I'm asking if they are acting upon a recommendation from Mission to the World that was put before the assembly.
The
Committee of Commissioners.
The Committee of Commissioners? Yes.
Page 823. Is the report, supplemental report. Number 2 is the recommendation. And responding to that, we responded as I read to you.
Apparently it was. Apparently we are in order. The question is still what to do. Mic number 3.
Mr. Moderator, Alan Crumbaker, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. You may correct me, sir, but I believe we still have a motion on the floor to postpone. And I believe, sir, that is only debatable as to the propriety of postponing. And if so, if you would rule that so, I'd like to speak to that.
I believe we had the proposal to postpone. It was true, and then I thought that it had been superseded by the bringing up of this other, but that may be incorrect. The motion was indeed to postpone.
And inasmuch as there is problem, and perhaps has not been adequately, we've not had adequate time to consider it, I should have perhaps followed along on the proposal to postpone. It is on the floor. You voted that? No? No, we did not. It is on. Yes. I guess you'd better make a motion to postpone again. Mr. King.
I would like to move that.
I think I cut off mic number 3, Mr. Kumbacher. I, in answer to your question, I believe that we did have a motion to bring the new report on the floor, which would overcome the motion to postpone, but the motion to postpone could be made again.
Mr. Moderator, I only heard the motion to postpone, and I believe if we debate that, I would recommend that we do postpone because we seem to have a contrary suggestion from MPW, which is not yet prepared to present it. We would be wiser to postpone this whole motion rather than try to carry it out right now. And I support the motion to postpone until after the MPW report.
I would rule the motion to postpone is proper and before us as a second. Apparently, there is some question about for preparation and needs to be studied more, apparently. And the motion to postpone, this would be, Mr. Kumbacher, until the Mission to the World report in the normal way. That motion, however, would, I believe, require a two-thirds vote also. This is where we are. There are problems between the different possibilities, and the committees are studying them. Shall we come to a vote on the question of postponement? How many would favor postponing until the Mission of the World report? Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It is carried by more than two-thirds vote. So it is postponed. In the meantime, we ask for these brethren to get together as much as possible on it.
Number 13. That hereafter the minutes of the General Assembly not be distributed free of charge to ministers, clerks of sessions, etc., but be sold at prices set by the office of the stated clerk. The rationale about that is that prices are going to fluctuate, so they'll be different every year. Carry this 12 bill.
Uh-huh. You heard the motion. That the yearbook not distributed free.
That was the minutes of the General Assembly, Mr. Moderator.
Yes.
Year bill books will be next.
Uh-huh. So, yes, the Mission of the General Assembly. I was reading the wrong one. Number 13 is before you. A question. Number 4 was given up. Anybody on the mics on that? I see no question or suggestion. If not, it is adopted.
Number 14, that hereafter the yearbook of the PCA, not be distributed free of charge to ministers, clerks, professions, etc., but be sold at prices set by the office of the stated clerk. Same rationale.
Same rationale, same problems as before us. They're the problems of cost and inflation. And we don't know the answer to all of those problems. There is no one seeking the microphone. No. Yes, number 6.
Donald Munson, Western Carolina's Presbytery. Moderator, I'd like to offer as an amendment to this that this action be delayed for 1 year. If I could get a second, I'd like to speak to that.
Move that the action, number 14 only this applies to?
Yes, sir.
Be delayed for 1 year until we get another yearbook. Yes. You may speak.
The reason for moving this amendment, sir, is that we have many new churches on both sides that have taken part in this joining and receiving, former Reformed Presbyterian Evangelical Synod churches and ministers that will be coming in that would be listed in a yearbook another year that those of us who have been in the PCA would not be familiar with, and the converse would be true for these men who would like to be familiar with those of us who have been in the PCA up to this time or at the time of the joining and receiving. I think that it would be wise to make this more readily accessible both to teaching elders and to clerks of session by the means of free distribution for at least one more year. And then after that time, we can try to help out the Committee on Administration by having this sold rather than distributed free.
Mm-hmm. You've heard the argument. Someone on the other side, mic number 8.
Mr. Moderator, Don Clements, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, a member of the Permanent Committee on Administration. I speak in opposition to this postponement for 1 year, not because I don't want my friends and former associates in the RPCES who are now with us to not get the book, but the plain facts are there ain't no free lunch, and somebody's going to pay for the printing. The budget of the committee administration, year after year after year, falls far short of its needs. Committee administration does not have a program budget, such as Mission of the World and Mission of the U.S., that if they don't get their money, they just send out fewer missionaries or start fewer churches. We have a locked-in budget. The assembly tells us what we've got to do, and then if the money doesn't come in, we are in bad shape. The facts are the money is not there to continue the mass free distribution of these books. And I urge you to, even for this 1 year, to not postpone it. I hope there's no sense of any taking advantage of the new money from the RPCES among us, but the needs for this committee's budget are major, and this is one way we need to help support the budget with the paying for the individual printing of the book.
Thank you for the discussion. Other items? We may point out that the purchase of the yearbook would be income tax deductible, right? Those in favor of the amendment, that is, in favor of delay on this item 14, please say aye. Those not in favor of delay, say nay. It is that the motion for delay fails. Those in favor of adopting the amendment, the number 14, please say aye. Pardon me? Oh, excuse me, I thought it was a mistake. Those against 14, please say nay. It is adopted. 14. Thank you. Next.
Number 15, that the Committee on Administration be authorized to continue to study the matter of delegated assemblies.
You have heard the suggestion, the recommendation. Mr. Watson, number 10.
DeWitt Watson, Great Lakes Presbytery. I'd like to move a substitute, Mr. Moderator. That the Committee on Administration be instructed to bring back to the 11th General Assembly a plan for a delegated assembly.
That's a stronger resolution. You've heard it. Is there a second? Moved and seconded. You'd like to speak?
I think very few words need to be said when one just looks out over the number of commissioners we have and the increasing problem of having a deliberative body with this number of people.
Someone would want to speak on the opposite side? This is would be a motion for study and report, I gather. There's nothing required yet, but it's wrong there. Shall we have read again number 11? Someone number 11 speaking, thank you.
This is John Rick, Pacific Presbytery, but more specific on out in the Pacific in Kailua, Hawaii. And I speak in opposition to a delegated assembly. I have had experience with the Christian Reformed Church where they have a delegated assembly, and a church I belong to in Honolulu didn't have a ghost of a chance to send anybody to a synod meeting. This is one thing I enjoy about coming to this General Assembly. We have a chance to bring a person from our church. This year it's only one, but nevertheless, it's a chance to bring somebody to feel a part of this General Assembly and of the denomination. I spoke last year in Fort Lauderdale about the same subject, and I feel strongly about it. I oppose any delegated assembly, and I'd like to go on the record for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody to speak on the opposite side? Number 8.
I oppose the motion. I am Edmund Elliott Sr. from Mid-Atlantic
Closer to the mic, please. Thank you. Take it off and
pull it all apart.
Yes, here's number 9.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm Edwin Elliott, Sr. from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. Probably will be in Delmarva or some renamed presbytery. It's been my privilege to attend every one of these assemblies we've had, beginning with the one that formed the first presbytery and the pre-assembly meetings in the first assembly and so on. And I've done it at my own expense. And I have certainly appreciated your willingness to listen to me patiently and long-sufferingly. Now, I have no reason to think the Presbytery would appoint me as their delegate to another one. So naturally, I don't wish to vote to disenfranchise myself. But that is the gist of the motion. Cut anybody out who is willing to pay his own expense and to come and to speak. I don't know why, but I am sure that there are better ways of conducting the business in church.
These are arguments against the amendment. Should we hear the amendment read again and then proceed to vote? Do we have the amendment? Can it be presented to us?
The Committee on Administration be instructed to bring back to the 11th General Assembly a plan for a delegated assembly.
You recognize that as an amendment. Number 15 is before you. We're voting on the amendment as just read. Those who favor the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who do not favor the amendment, say nay.
Nay.
I would say the nays have it. Okay. Those who favor the amendment, stand up. I'm afraid we have to stand up and be counted.
Mr. Moderator, I have a very important announcement for those persons who are members of the case number 1. That's the case in the Judicial Commission dealing with the case of Gulf Coast Presbytery. We have the copies of all the record of the case up here. If you'll come up, the chairman of the commission is ready to distribute those to you up here at the front.
Be seated, please, and those in the negative, please rise. Those who, the negative has it. Isn't that clear? Yeah. Thank you. I think without counting, the negative has it very clearly. The amendment fails. We're back to the recommendation number 15. That the committee be authorized to continue the study. Those in favor of recommendation number 15, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No. Nay.
The ayes have it.
Number 16, that the General Assembly approve locating the offices of the Assembly's committees in one geographical location.
This has been proposed. Question, mic number 7.
Dick Harris, Tennessee Valley Presbytery, offer an amendment. After the sentence, a comma, the words, the Atlanta, Georgia.
A little closer.
the Atlanta, Georgia area. An amendment, the word comma, the insertion of the word the Atlanta, Georgia area.
Is the amendment, that is, the force of the amendment is to require it to be in the Atlanta, Georgia area. This was seconded, was it? I didn't hear a second. Seconded. Very good. Up for debate. Those in, no question. Number eight has a question.
Tom Graham, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. This amendment would be much more appropriate at the next recommendation. The committee tried to separate the idea of whether or not to have a headquarters from the idea of where the headquarters should be if we have one.
Thank you. Number seven in back is number seven. I'm sorry. I thought there was one in back.
Dick Harris, Tennessee Valley. Really makes no difference, Mr. Moderator. All we have to do is just vote down or ignore or do away with number 17. It could have been put at either place. I put it at number 16 because I thought it was the most appropriate place. And to comment on the amendment, sir, as everyone knows, the three primary committees of MUS and Mission of the World and Education, even Insurance and Annuities in Atlanta. The administration is now moving to Atlanta. Our Committee on Administration did recommend in its normal business this year that the location be in Atlanta, Georgia, after a very extensive and exhaustive study.
Thank you. Number nine, Mike Nine.
Mr. Moderator, Michael Rogers, Ascension Presbytery. I was a member of the commission, or a committee of commissioners that considered this, and we were unanimous, as you see by the vote, in choosing to divide the recommendation from the permanent committee because it was very evident for us to us that the three-member subcommittee appointed by the permanent committee to study locations had considerable doubt in their mind, or at least to the fact that they were ready to make a recommendation, not necessarily as to what the ultimate location would be. The three members had visited only one of the four sites mentioned as to specific proposals possible in those sites. I suggest the information offered in the report was not, I would take issue, I think, with the word exhaustive, because the there were no specific proposals as to building, funding, and so on in the Atlanta area, the Washington area, and the three-member subcommittee came and said that they wanted more time, and that subcommittee was overruled by the Permanent Committee on Administration. I believe it might be of interest if any of the members of that subcommittee wish to give some of the results of their rather interesting trip to the one city they did go to, it might be of interest to the commissioners. We were not, in dividing this question, attempting to argue against Atlanta, to provide any subterfuge to defeat Atlanta as a location. We were simply saying that whether there was to be one location was one question, where it was to be was another question. And we believe that the subcommittee's feeling that more study is needed was in order.
We heard these comments. Are there any other comments? Number 10, Mike 10.
Hi, South Florida Presbytery. The recommendation of the permanent committee is that the offices be located in the greater Atlanta area. And I am completely in accord with that, and I would support this motion that has been made to amend it so that it would be definitely going to the Atlanta area. But I would like to make an addition to that as, I guess, an amendment to the amendment, if that's in order.
That's in order.
That the General Assembly recognizes that there may come a time in the foreseeable future when, in God's providence, PCA may have sufficient churches in the western half of the United States and in Canada to warrant relocating the committees in another city. With this possibility in mind, the Assembly asks the subcommittee to explore the possibility of leasing one building that would comfortably house Assembly's present committees, including space for expansion, for a period of not exceeding 10 years, avoiding any commitment such as buying a building or erecting a building of our own, which would tend to lock us in permanently to Atlanta as the definite home for a central home for the church. If I get a second to that, I'd like to speak to.
And then seconded, moved and seconded, you may speak.
First of all, let me say that a study I made some time ago of PCA showed that 85% of our members are within easy one day's drive of Atlanta, Georgia. I was pleased to note that in the churches that will be joining us, that have joined us now from the RPCES, and I think I'd be right in saying that close to 85% of their membership is presently located in the eastern part of the United States, plus the area in the St. Louis area where they have great strength. Therefore, it would seem to me that Atlanta, Georgia would be the most logical site for the location of our committees for the present. I think there could come a time when we would need to think in terms of if our growth expands. I don't think any of us realized 10 years ago we'd be where we are today. But in God's providence, we may have a truly national church in another 10 years. And if that took place, we would have a need to reconsider the location. I'd hate to see us tie ourselves into Atlanta permanently by owning a building there or buying or building a building of our own. I also believe, and I've had some experience in the real estate business, that we should be able to find a building in Atlanta, possibly an older building, that would adequately house our committee. And I am disturbed at the high priced space, Speaker, that they're buying for the present committee.
Speaker's time is up. Thank you. This is an amendment to the amendment, in effect a substitute. Are we ready to vote on this amendment? Do we need to have it read? Number 11.
Wyken. I am from the Philadelphia Presbytery and a member of the Committee on Administration. I think we're in danger here of getting these matters all mixed up. Number 16 has to do with whether we will locate in one geographic area. Number 17 then has to do with where. I think we shouldn't be discussing where in connection with whether. And I think that we should take up whether at this point.
The force of these amendments are not to take up the whether at this point. The force of these amendments, and the last one, is a variation of the second. If you feel this way, then the thing to do is to vote against the amendments, of course. You've heard the argument. Are we ready to vote on the amendment? I believe so. Those in favor of number 9, requesting the floor. Number 9, Mike.
I'm Bill Iverson of Philadelphia Presbytery. I've been doing a bad thing. I've been talking to people with yellow badges, and I haven't heard any of them stand up, but I would like to see us be a national church by centering, if we do choose to center. I'm not sure we shouldn't get rid of a clique and spread out our forces like the RPs do. I think they do a good thing that way. I don't notice the kingdom of God coming any faster in Atlanta with all those agencies there. As a matter of fact, we're having a hard time in Atlanta. And I think we ought to consider first rejecting both these amendments. I like the second amendment. If we were to do this, that's a good, wise move. But I'm going to vote against both amendments so we can decide whether we want it centralized. And then once we get our thinking clear on that,
then decide, if we decide to centralize, where will we do it? We are a national church. We are what we chose to be in the name of the Lord, together. And there's a great seminary up there that we just got a part of, and we didn't do anything for this great gift, that seminary, Covenant Seminary. And I think we should, if we do consider even centralizing, then we've got to consider
the
central time part of the United States.
On the whole question.
Thank you. The time is up. It's time for us to vote. And shall we come to a vote? Those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, that was a long one about the leasing and so on, those who favor that amendment to the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay.
Nay.
I take it that it is lost. We're back to the amendment, which was to add to the statement of verse of number 16, to add the statement in Atlanta, or in Atlanta and Barnes, whatever it was, the amendment. We're ready to vote on the first amendment that was offered, which specified Atlanta. Ready to vote. Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay.
Nay.
The amendment is lost. Now we're back to the original statement, number 16. That is a recommendation that we locate the offices of the Assemblies Committee in one geographical location. Are you ready to vote on that? Those in favor of that motion, number four, mic number four for the discussion of this point.
I'd like to ask a question first, starting following from New River Presbytery. On the timing, every time an amendment is made, does that add another 10 minutes? From my perspective, that would seem to be that you could kill something by amending and amending and amending and never really discussing the main issue.
We can always extend the time that should be discussed.
Because I guess I was waiting for this point to have the discussion on whether we want to decentralize, not about Atlanta, not about leasing.
Does the Assembly wish to spend five more minutes on debate on this matter? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? The ayes have it. Five more minutes. You may speak.
I have an RP background, and I think that our diversification in different cities had a great deal to do with getting those presbyteries where you had agencies or places, headquarters, involved. If you just centralize the headquarters in one place, that's one presbytery that's going to be involved. That presbytery is going to be overloaded with executives. I think that it would be good to really think about having a national church with our different agencies headquartered in different places. I think it really helps to develop a national image. It also prevents us from having something like they have in the UP Church on Riverside, or down in Atlanta where the Southern Presbyterians have their headquarters, where you have that headquarters image. My impression of the PCA was that this was a grassroots church, and grass grows in a lot of different places. It doesn't grow in one place. And I think that I was really surprised when you were thinking about this. I would encourage you to reject this and to be decentralized. I know it's a little more expensive, but I think in the long run, you create more grassroots interest by having your agencies spread out like salt among the whole church. So I'd urge you to vote against it.
I think the brother's mixing his metaphors when he speaks about grass growing and then salt.
Mr. Moderator.
Thank you, Fred.
Mr. Moderator, it may be good to inform those who have just come into the PCA that the policy as it now stands is that each committee may locate where it desires to locate. The fact that three have located in Atlanta was the decision of those individual committees, not at the direction of the Assembly. And that, if you do not vote for this, that's where it would still remain, left to each committee to locate where it desires.
If you do vote for this, it votes for the centralization in the one place. That's number 15, 16 is before you, specifies one geographical location. You wish to speak as the last one? Yes, you have the last word on that. Excuse me. Before you give the last word, we'll have a penultimate from Mr. Clark, number 10.
Phil Clark, coordinator of MUS. I think for the yellow tags, as they may be called that, I have not heard any of them until just at this moment. say that the diversity of location has been to their necessary benefit. But I think it should be explained that we, as those employed by the assembly, have the right to belong to any presbytery, and though I live in Atlanta, I belong to Pacific Presbytery. We are not concentrated in one presbytery. But more importantly, by far, is the fact that we have in this modern age come to a common database. We have a computerization. We have everything in the computer. We have hard lines into that computer from all of our committees. And if we're going to go to St. Louis and to New York and to Los Angeles and use phone lines, it will not only be very expensive, but it's also, as you know, very, very slow. And so we need this common database. We need this hardline hookup with our computer, and we frankly do need some discussion together, lest we become parachurch agencies working at odds with one another.
Number seven.
They're wondering what us yellow tags have to say. I'm Roger Hunt from the New St. Louis Presbytery. I would personally feel that we can't very much longer afford the luxury economically of being spread all over the country, and are going to have to learn to trust a central headquarters. I know that historically has not been what we old RPs have done, but I don't think we can afford the luxury of a printing setup or of mailing equipment that only is used a little bit of the time per month. I just don't think we can use God's money that frivolously.
Shall we come to a vote? And the last speech is in your privilege.
I would like to inform the assembly of these arguments that we've heard.
Mr. Chairman, there is one more who's asked. I'm sorry, too. I should have recognized him and not interrupted you. I'm sorry. Number 10, one more speech, although our 5 minutes is going fast.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'm Carl Fickling from the Pacific Presbytery. I'd like to point out that I have several years' experience in data processing, and currently I work for a large corporation, okay? And our current staff headquarters, which uses the computer quite a bit, is in Persephone, New Jersey. The computer is in Herkimer, New York. That's upstate New York. The other half of the corporation is in Hayward, California, and a good percentage of it is in L.A. It doesn't matter where the computer is. And as a data processing manager for that corporation, I can adhere to that. And also, to me, I would also prefer that the presbyteries, the different committees of the assembly, be at separate places at their own discretion.
Thank you. Time is up. No more debate. And now the final.
You can put the question, do they want to extend the debate?
I guess I should. But I don't see anyone at the microphone. Should be. We do not need to extend it for the man who speaks here. I see no more requests for the microphones, and so the committee will make the final summary.
We heard all of these arguments, discussed them. They were made by experts who we invited into our meeting. And besides the money problem, which we know is immense, the one thing the committee felt, because it's your committee, was that you should make the decision on these two items, whether to have a central location and or where it was to be. So this is what we were arriving at, and all of these people who were arguing today seem to have the same thing in mind, that the General Assembly itself should make the decision, and that was our intent. Thank you.
Are we ready to vote? Those who favor adoption of number 16, that is approving location in one geographical location, those who favor that, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who oppose, nay.
Nay.
I would say the ayes have it. Thank you. One more.
17. That the permanent location be recommitted to the Committee on Administration for further study.
Number 17, that the permanent location be recommitted to COA for further study. Debate on that? So those in favor, please say aye. Contrary, nay. The
Order of the day has arrived. Our committee is partly through. We have come as far as 17, finished 17, but we must break for supper, for the dinner hour, and we reconvene at what time? At shall we not leave, please? We have some papers to give out, and we have announcements to make, so please keep in order until we are dismissed. Time for reconvening is 7:30. The partial report of the Committee of Commissions, number 55, is being passed out. Now for announcements. Do you have announcements? I think you better make the announcements while we're passing out. Point of number two, mic number two, a point of special.
I'd like to call a meeting of the Committee of Commissioners of Mission to the World for 6:30 behind the platform. That's Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the World, 6:30 behind the platform.
Thank you. Number five, Mike.
Call for a meeting of all interested parties and commissioners involved in the Judicial Commission matter, complaint of Charles H. Davis against the Presbytery of Central Georgia. I want to call for that meeting so we can decide where to meet, over here by this press table right after the assembly.
Immediately. That's good. Now there are several announcements, and we will take the announcements while the papers are being given out, and then we will close with prayer. Shall we have as much order as possible while we're passing things out and for the announcements? Mr. Gilchrist.
Mr. Moderator, there's a called meeting of Grace Presbytery today, June 15, at 5 p.m., immediately after afternoon session, room P301. That room is up on the second floor, and there is a doorway and stairs going up to the third floor, P301, for Grace Presbytery. The Judicial Commission to adjudicate the complaints of Vaughn Hathaway Jr. et al. Against Grace Presbytery, case number 4, will meet at the rear of the auditorium and the bleachers immediately following the 5 o'clock recess. The Committee of Commissioners, MUS, will meet at 7 p.m. in the West Gym. Reformed Theological Seminary Alumni Breakfast, 6:30 Thursday morning, No Crest Dining Room. Alumni, wives, commissioners are invited. Midwestern or St. Louis Presbytery shall convene in a regular meeting on June 25, 1982 in Covenant Theological Seminary, St. Louis. For those of you who are interested, the total number of commissioners at this General Assembly as of noon today was 330 ruling elders, 660 teaching elders. I would like to mention that the stated clerk of the Reformed Presbyterian Church had been authorized to publish a book on the documents of the RPCES to include significant study papers and decisions of the RPCES from 1965 to 1982, which will include a complete index of synodical actions, and there are attached sheets in a prospectus that is available for you on that table by the bleachers on this side. Those of you who would be interested in it, we have a special opportunity at this time to get those good solid study papers and decisions from the RPCES, which we hope will be useful in the PCA decisions in the future. And pre-publication offers are available at $6.50 per copy, postage paid. We should be going to press with this in the next month or so, and so I would need to know how many copies to order. I need about 1,000 copies at this special rate. And so there is a pre-publication order blank listed here And if you can have a check for $6.50 per copy, or if you will, just let me know that you will send that money. Okay. At least I will be able to go to press as soon as possible. Those of you who are interested, the list of the topics and the pages and so on from the various minutes are given in the attachment. That's available over here. Mr. Moderator, I have one more announcement that I would like to make after prayer is offered.
There are two more announcements and then a matter of personal privilege from Dr. Taylor, Aiken Taylor, who has been in touch with the ARP people at Bun Clark and wants to speak to the assembly. Matter of personal privilege. First, an announcement here.
Gentlemen, it has come to my attention that the moderator stood in line at lunch for 40 minutes. I suggest, in fact, I urge that you invite the moderator to come to the head of the chow line at all meals.
Thank you. I'm not that hungry at the moment. I have been asked by the ladies to see if there is not some place that they could be seated in the bleachers. I wonder if we might ask the commissioners who sit in the bleachers and who like it back there if they would limit their occupancy to the first seven rows, approximately at least the first seven rows. That would make it easier also for handing out reports and then to allow the visitors in the upper rows of the bleachers. It's too bad that some of them cannot come and listen as they would like to do. Let's try that at least and see what would happen. Well, the ladies should go to the lunch, not the bleachers.
No,
but
this is,
oh, right. Oh, this is all right for now. I see. Now, shall we hear Dr. Taylor in a personal privilege manner?
Mr. Moderator, I have been in touch with our fraternal delegate at Erskine College, attending General Synod down there. And some very important things have happened in the General Synod today that affect, I believe, the actions that we took in the matter of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. I'd like to ask, as a matter of personal privilege, Mr. Moderator, that the brethren consider, while they're eating their meal, accepting a request for reconsideration. I cannot make such a request, but would the brethren be willing to just think about it while they're eating supper, please?
Someone who has voted against the thing could make a reconsideration motion.
Hear that when we come back from dinner. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You will.
Yes. So think about that, and we want to do the best thing possible for what's right, not just parliamentary. Now, are we ready to close? I believe. We'll close with prayer, and then one more announcement. I'll call on Reverend Billy Combs to lead us in prayer, please. Where is Mr. Combs? Shall we rise, and here come to mic number four.
Surely, O Lord, your mercies are great unto us. Your grace has appointed us into your family. Your love has given to us the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. You have granted to us the gift of your Spirit that we might have the wisdom of the Lord. We continue to pray that you would strengthen us. And as we look to this time of refreshment, may we remember that we are continuously refreshed in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Shall we?
God has the anthem sung. Music, what is all? Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. And hail him as thy majesty through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of hosts. He holds.
Shall we remain standing? And I'll ask Reverend Nelson Malkus to lead us in prayer, please, in closing, in the start of the second.
Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you just now, before the start of another session, we want to express our thanks to you for your great blessings upon us as a church, as individuals, as families. And indeed, our Father, we look forward with great anticipation to that day when Jesus Christ will be crowned Lord of all. Now, our Father, we come tonight to do the business that is before us. We pray for wisdom and strength for our moderator, for our clerks, for all who will participate. We look to you for wisdom, our Father, and trust that the decisions that are made might indeed be in accordance with your will, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me.
Mr. Moderator, I have one announcement in which Dick Harris of Tennessee Valley is asked to come immediately to the podium. And for the information of the assembly, where we are would be to finish the report on administration, and then if time permits, to move on to some of the shorter reports for which we have the papers, such as Ridgehaven, Covenant College, Covenant Seminary. And I would hope we would be able to complete those this evening.
Thank you. First, there are a couple of items of personal privilege. Just a minute. Is Aiken Taylor?
Dr. Taylor is here. I have one other announcement for a meeting. A Judicial Commission number 2 is meeting in room 300 of this building. I believe that's the third floor room of this building, Judicial Commission number 2.
Personal motion to be presented from Mr. Henry Miller. Miller.
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, on page 26 in your handbook, you will find an item of praise. There's a letter transmitted through Gulf Coast Presbytery to the assembly from the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Milton, Florida. I'd like the privilege to read this letter. Whereas the Westminster Presbyterian Church of Milton, Florida was destroyed by fire December 22, 1981, and whereas the Presbytery of the Gulf Coast requested aid from the churches of the Presbytery and sought aid through our mission to the United States Committee, and whereas the Presbyteries and churches of the PCA responded so generously to the request of the Presbytery and the request of the Reverend Philip Clark of the MUS Committee that helped us to rebuild a church dedicated to the glory of God, therefore, be it resolved by the session and congregation of the Westminster Presbyterian Church of Milton, Florida, to thank the Presbytery of the Gulf Coast for its help and encouragement during this trying time in the life of this congregation, and through the Presbytery to thank our MUS Committee, Presbyteries, and congregations of the PCA for their help, encouragement, and prayers. To God be the glory, the great things he hath done. Wilbur Howell, Clerk of the Session, Charles F. Gwynn, Jr., moderator. Mr. Moderator, I'm...